Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
It's now or never.
Are you saying I don't have a beautiful singing voice?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I'm Jeff Kaplan, and you're listening to The Instance.
You're listening to The Instance.
Everybody, welcome back to the Instance podcast. This is the Instance episode 503, baby. Thursday, October 12th, 2017. It's a weird day. We don't normally do this on Thursdays, but schedules being what they have been, we decided we got to get one in this week, no matter what we do. So here it is. It's happening. Help, help, it's happening. I'm Scott Johnson, joined by and with and for and around Patrick Beja. Hello.
Around? Wow, that feels weirdly intimate. Hey, Scott, you'll never guess what happened to me today.
What happened to you today?
Oh, I thought.
Oh, you want me to guess? I can guess. Let me
guess. No, it's fine.
I want to guess.
It's okay.
You fought off would-be attackers with a scarf. No?
That would have been awesome, but the thing that actually happened was even awesomer, and I'll tell you because you actually won't guess. I was kicked in the head by my unborn baby.
Whoa, wait.
Yes.
So kicking already. Wow, we are down the path, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait.
And it's the first time I felt it that much. It was a magical moment. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, he's not quite the martial artist yet, so mm-hmm. It didn't really hurt, which was good because the mom would probably have felt it even more. But yeah, it was weird. I was, you know, leaning in, trying to listen in, and at that point, he was like, "Wah-ha!" Like being old monkey and stuff.
Yeah, I understand. Like Sumuro and Heroes of the Storm just kicked you right in the head. I guess he doesn't kick. He mostly slashes with swords, and you don't want that in a pregnancy.
Yes, no, that, no.
So
to wait until at least they're, you know, 3 years old to give them a sharpened sword.
So this Beja expansion comes out in January, is it?
Well, we like to say when it's done. You know, we don't want to rush things. We really want to make sure that we cook all of the ingredients properly. But the expansion director, my wife, is telling me that if it takes longer than mid-January 2018, she's going to start getting really, really nervous, and I might not get my yearly bonus.
Sure.
So, you know, we're not quite Blizzard with the liberties of taking as long as we want.
I wish games worked like human gestation periods. Like Blizzard would have to conceive the game and then immediately get going because they only have 9 months to finish it. And if they go over, you have to induce it. Like, that'd be the way
to go. You know, interestingly, most game companies work pretty much like that. If you're not done, it doesn't matter. It's coming out anyway.
That's a really good point. That's totally a good point. They've like circumvented it.
The rules of nature are just very similar to the rules of financial profit in this regard.
You know what? They've always had these values. Number one, gameplay. Think internationally. And third, the little known one is make babies the way an alien would with a non-9 month.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They have some strange biology there at Blizzard. No one quite understands it, but it works.
Yep, so there you go. Well, we're glad to be back. We're going to be talking a lot about World of Warcraft today and a little bit of a summary of what's going on around Blizzard at the end of the show. But I wanted to mention something before we got started. We had an interesting milestone on the show and didn't make a giant hoopla about it, but we hit 500 episodes of The Instance, and that was a couple of weeks back, and we're very proud of that number. I think that's great and a fine milestone to hit. And some have asked, are you guys going to do anything to help celebrate it? And the answer is yes. We made a mug. It is the Blizz. I wrote BlizzCon. I didn't mean that. It is the Instance 500 plus mug. You can go see it at frogpants.com/store. It's one of the first ones up there, and it is a commemorative mug. There is only a limited edition and limited number of these available. So if you want one, get on it. I apologize that if you're international and shipping seems so high, that is just how weird shipping is right now. International shipping is ridiculous at the moment. But if you're in the States, not so bad. Also, I think Canada's not so bad either. But anyway, it's a great way not only to support the show, but to show some pride in our 500 episodes. It's a fancy, nice mug. I have one. Where is it? Nope, I don't have it in here. But there are only a few, not a ton. Well, I shouldn't say a few. There's more than a few, but there's not an unlimited supply. And that
there's
means
12.
There's more.
So you better get it while you can.
More than 12, but you want to get it while you can. Again, frogpants.com/store and check it out. I think you guys will like it. All right. We're going to jump right in. We got this. So before we get into any of the sort of newsy bits, and there aren't a ton this time of year, we're about to head to BlizzCon. That means things go a little quiet for Blizzard, especially on the front of, I think, World of Warcraft, given that we're all expecting new expansion announcement. I think that's a safe bet.
It's pretty much a given. I mean, yeah. If they don't announce an expansion, I don't know. Like, I will shave my head if they don't announce an expansion at BlizzCon.
Whoa, really? Okay. So we're holding them to it. Man, how can we figure out a way to make them delay the announcement? Because I want to see you ball. I want to see you shorn what I want to say.
I should get approval from the expansion director on that, because I don't know if my wife would approve.
Never trust a man who says to you, I want to see you shorn. So, yeah.
Okay, my wife is here.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask right now.
All right.
So we're very much expecting the next WoW expansion to be announced at BlizzCon this year. Mm-hmm. And I just said, in a fit of idiocy, which are very common for me, if they don't announce the expansion at BlizzCon, I will shave my head.
What's her reaction? Let's get this right on the street.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
What, thumbs up or what? What'd you
get? Her answer is, it's your head, honey. So basically, she's given me the go.
All right. So that's what I like about Finnish women. They just, they know the right thing to say when you need to say it. That's fantastic.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not taking too much of a risk because it's pretty much a given.
You know what's going to happen. Of course it is. But because of that, the WoW news side of things has slowed a bit to a trickle. However, I've been playing a lot, and I know this is a small feat because a lot of you have well beaten me there. But because I took a lot of time off with raiding and other stuff, I'm just sort of ramping back up. Got my Hunter to eye level 900 yesterday or a couple days ago. Got another Kill Jaden kill Sunday. That was pretty epic, worked out really well. And a few other bosses and got some items in there. And, just generally speaking, having a good time, doing all my Argus homework, getting all that done every day. Spending time with Illidan, doing his lazy ass jobs that he wants me to do, which is great. And thoroughly in on this patch. I know I've said it before, but I don't know what's going on. Oh, I did mess around a little bit with some other alts. I finally took a balanced druid and dorked around with him. Somebody I paid for a boost for forever ago and then did nothing with him. Like, I literally boosted him and then he sat there. It was so dumb. I don't know what I paid for that. It was like $60 to boost a character, and I was so sure I was going to go nuts with him, and I didn't do anything. So I got a troll now who's getting a little bit of love from me. The mage, still working on him. Overall, having as much fun as you might expect someone to be having when they're kind of all back in on the game. I know you've had less time to play, but anything of significance this week for you in World of Warcraft? Has Azeroth peaked into your hole? No?
Not really, no. All the fun you're having now, I've already had that fun. Sorry, made you spit your coffee there. I've basically had that great fun from 7.3 and from the previous raid and all of this. Been following a little bit of the raid testing on the PTR. There seems like there's going to be... it's kind of hard because I don't want to get spoiled, so I'm not watching too much. In general, not a lot of WoW going this week. There's so many things to do gaming-wise that I've been focusing on other things. But
October's weird, right? Like, this might be one of the biggest gaming months of all time I don't know who's keeping track of this stuff, but it's pretty well, huge.
Yeah, I think it. I call it on Pixels the Axiom 17. It's like the fact that there are so many great games right now in 2017 that you have to select out games that are great, yeah, but that are not as great as the other great games you want to be spending time with.
Yeah.
So, it's crazy. Yeah, Axiom 17 in full effect. But yeah, so I've been, I checked my eye level when you touted your EPIN of 900, and I was happy to realize I'm 914.
Jeez.
Which I'm sure some people are going to be laughing at in the audience.
Yeah, but, I mean, look, I've made no bones about the fact that I'm returning after a big pause, and so this is progression for me, and I'm happy. Oh, and a lot of people responded pretty positively to my comments last episode, where I kind of went off a little bit about, you know, why are you playing this? Are you just trying to keep up with the Joneses? Are you playing it for your own entertainment? Like, what are you getting out of WoW these many years into it? And a lot of people seem to agree with my stance of I just don't care anymore what anyone thinks. Like, I just want to play, and I want to play my way. And if I want to play a freaking balanced druid, fine. That's what I'm going to do. If you want to play a shadow priest, Randy, I'm looking at you, buddy. He's in the chat today. If you want to play that guy, then you should play that guy. Play what you want to play. Play it how you want to play it. Play it at the pace you want to play it. That is World of Warcraft for me right now. And ever since that philosophical shift, I have embraced the game in a way that I haven't in a long time. And that's interesting to me because
it is freeing in a way.
Yeah.
The fact that you feel like there aren't things you need to do or you need to conform to what people expect. Because the thing is, when you play a game every day for like 3 years, at some point you get into a pattern of a certain way you do things or certain things you expect. And then if you play less, you know, I'm saying 3 years, in our case, it was like 5 or 6 years nonstop.
Yeah.
But then you play less. And when you come back to it, you're kind of still in that mind frame of how you were doing it after 5 years of continuous play. And so it takes a little bit of time to divorce yourself from that. Don't divorce. Well, I mean, unless
if you feel like
you're not happy anymore. But the point is, it takes a little bit of time to divorce yourself from those habits, even though you're not still playing the game in a way that forms those habits or that justifies those habits. Mm-hmm. And I think you're only now getting in that place where you're like, I don't need to do things the way anyone, including myself, expects me to do it.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want. Yeah. I can even have fun.
I'm a little bugged how long it took me to get there, though, because this is more of a, you know, personal realization thing. But I have, maybe since the beginning of the game, felt that weird, kind of hard to define, a little bit of fuzzy peer pressure around a game like World of Warcraft, where the game is about progression and reaching new levels and acquiring new things and becoming better and better. And whenever something like that exists in gaming, there is some guide somewhere that will tell you, this is the build you have to do. This is the class, this is the spec, this is the gear, and this is the roles you want to try to get on, you know, random stuff. And here are the things you need to do, and here's your rotation, and if it's not this, then you're doing it wrong. And it's true of Hearthstone. You better use these decks, because if you don't, you're not going to win games, or whatever it is. And I think I let that be a part of the way I thought about this particular game for way too long. And in fact, it maybe have been since the beginning, the more I think about it. Because it's only really recently where I went, whatever. And it just was like this huge pressure off, just like, just do play. I know it sounds weird hearing me say it, like, what's wrong with me? But I did always kind of feel that. And it was always kind of, well, I probably ought to do this because I don't want to get a bunch of emails. Now I don't care. Freaking email me. Tell me how bad my DPS is. Don't care. So anyway, that's breathed new life into the game for me in a way that I haven't felt since the beta, probably, which is a weird thing to say.
Wow.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
I guess the fun at different times in the game was different as well. When we were in the middle of like Lich King, it was, anyway, we don't want to get back into that whole conversation,
yeah.
But yeah.
It's interesting. And thanks for all your feedback, everybody, for everything you followed up with, because it has been a fascinating discussion. Okay. We haven't talked about this yet because we couldn't talk about it until now. And a lot of you found out of a kind of by accident because the BlizzCon schedule got posted. And everyone noticed that on Saturday, there's this chunk of time cut out that says live instance from the stage. And I immediately got all these tweets and emails going, dude, what's this? And I went, oh, that's what they're going to call that. So we weren't told in the very beginnings of my conversations with Blizzard, I wasn't told that's what this would be. My assumption was I wasn't necessarily told anything, but my assumption was, oh, they'll use this for like a panel or something. I've done smaller versions of this. In fact, Patrick and I did this with a few other people for Overwatch last year. We did a small community style thing. Year before that, I did some Q&A for the Legion announcement. And so I'm used to doing these things on these, you know, sort of smaller levels. But this is going to be on DirecTV. It's going to be on the virtual ticket. It's going to be on a stage in front of hundreds of people. People,
I mean,
in
it's
chairs.
A smaller stage on the second. It's not like the big.
No. We're not going to be in the 60,000 yeah. seat room. Yeah, hell no. I mean, we may be on some screen somewhere. I don't know. But we're going to definitely be in a space where, you know, 400 or 500 people are sitting.
Yeah,
and
really exciting.
Yeah, right? It's pretty exciting. And as a result, it's going to be so Patrick and I are for sure. It looks like Terpster's a no, given where he is right now. But here's,
I mean, I don't know. I still haven't heard from. Supposedly, yes.
Yeah, supposedly this is all going to happen. Now, the bottom line is, it's probably when people read, oh, instance, is it just a podcast? No, we're going to have some Blizzard people there. It's going to be more interviewee. It'll be more like a panel, but it'll also be, you know, us doing our thing. So
I think what's going to happen is they're going to announce a new expansion and they're going to want everyone to talk about it. And one of the best way, I mean, we would talk about it anyway, but obviously it's going to be even more exciting if we're there and if we can get a developer to talk with us about it. And that's going to be really awesome.
Yeah. Devs, artists, whatever, we'll take anything they throw at us. We're very excited about it. A little bit nervous, but excited. And if you're there, come see us. Come sit out there and be a part of that audience because we'd really like to see you there.
If you're there at BlizzCon and you're hearing this now and you're in you're in the instance audience and you don't come to that panel, I will be disappointed. I will look at you and you will know that I am disappointed.
Yeah.
And I will come hug you in with my scarf and it will feel slightly uncomfortable for you.
Oh, so, yeah. No, you can feel things through that scarf that are not, it's not cool. So you don't want it. I'm telling you.
The people who will be there will get the comfortable hug. The other ones will get the uncomfortable hug. So you've been warned.
You have been warned. But if you do come, we're going to love you for that. And we can't wait to see you there. And we'll get pictures of you from the stage and all that stuff. So we're very excited about this. And everyone who, if you can't go to BlizzCon, we understand that too. If you have the virtual ticket, make sure you catch us on that. Or if you have DirecTV in that plan or whatever, you can get it there. All right. So I just want to make sure everybody knew about that. That's a big deal, and we're excited. What else? Oh, the Mythic Dungeon Invitational ended. Did you watch any of this? Was this
no,
a thing?
No, I didn't.
Oh, Patrick, it was so good.
I know. It's I've never really paid attention to PvE esports type events, and I'm thinking maybe I should have. It seems like an event that is like this kind of activity. Mythic Dungeons are absolutely. They lend themselves to racing type esport things. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I've never really watched it. So it was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. So it's content from the current expansion. These are Mythic Dungeons, and they had teams compete simultaneously. It's a bit like the kind of race, not Raced World First, but like the stuff they do at BlizzCon with the big 25-man raids they do live. Except in this case, it was, you know, quite literally these two small teams doing dungeons on Mythic level. And it was all about who got there the quickest, what tactics they used to do that. It's basically just a time run, like a speed run almost, but, you know, on Mythic difficulties. And it was...
So they're doing it at the same time, right?
Yes.
The final is two of them doing it at the same time.
And they have shoutcasters who are calling the both sides, and they're basically showing a split screen for a lot of it, and sometimes they'll focus in on one because they're having trouble with a fight or there's a death or whatever, and then they'll flip over to the other one, see how they're doing. So you can always kind of see who's ahead of the other guy. It's just good graphical stuff on the screen to sort of explain what was going on. And sadly, I wasn't able to just sort of sit and watch all of it, which is really what I ended up wanting to do. But what I did, what I was able to see, always entertaining, always fun to watch that stuff happen. Even in the beginning, because in the beginning you'd think, oh, well, that's boring. They got to do the first three encounters and it's going to be roughly the same. And, you know, it's not that big a deal. But there is a real intensity to that that made it one of my favorite kinds of esport things to watch in recent years. I really liked it. And I don't know if this was a test, if this was like, if people like this will do more kind of moment. They haven't really said. It was an invitational, so it wasn't kind of like a, you know, a much more formalized tournament the way they're doing with their other games. But as WoW esporty things have gone, easily my favorite thing to watch. Arena stuff doesn't even come close to this, in my opinion, as far as how entertaining it was. Really, really fun. $50,000 was on the line. A team took it. I don't think it's a spoiler to say who won, so I think we're okay saying.
Well, wait a second. Maybe some people find this out and they want to go and watch it now.
No, oh, good point.
And have the excitement, you know. Maybe you can go and check it out for yourself. Maybe I'm going to do that.
I'm going to say...
No, don't.
No. I'm not going to spoil it.
I know what you do. You're like, I'm going to say something. It's not going to be spoiling anything. And you're like, but the name of the team that won rhymes with envious. And
yeah.
You're like,
it's not them, what? Though. So everyone knows. He's not hinting who it is. So I'm just going to say this. This isn't a I promise this isn't a spoiler. I'll just say that it was nice to see a team win that wasn't from a certain always place. That's all I'll say.
Wait. Did you actually spoil it?
No. No, I didn't. What? This was an international competition. There are many.
Where are the teams from? Is there a Korean one and a non-Korean one?
No, but they're all over the world, these teams.
No, the finals.
The finals were... No, I'll give it away if I say. I don't want to give it away.
Yes, exactly. But the people who are going to watch it are gonna know which teams they're watching.
I'm going to tell you... I'll tell you what... the team that won is from one of the following areas. Asia Pacific, Americas, or Europe.
I'm pretty sure you gave it away.
No, I promise I didn't. It's really good, though, and people should watch the VODs. I won't tell you who won. They started with 32 teams, though, from all around the globe. They whittled that down to four regional matchups over two weekends, and that culminated to a head-to-head matchup in the global quarterfinals and global finals, where the team was crowned, and it was so much fun. And I don't even think you have to watch it all to get the point of why I think this is so cool. It's just a great way not only to showcase current content in the game, but just make something rad out of it. It was just cool. So anyway,
and you know, they've been doing those mythic dungeons, esporty type things for a while. I remember the Blizzard EU. In fact, well, I mean, the Gamescom had some of those a few years ago already, so it might be that we're late to the party, but they've been awesome all along, and we just didn't catch up to it.
Yeah, I mean, as much as it's, you know, it's cool that the arena stuff exists, I just have never felt like WoW multi PvP has been very fun to watch. It's fun to play, but not that much of a spectator sport.
Maybe that's what the spectator type WoW should be, rather than PvP, which we've always said as a spectator sport, it feels awkward because you don't really understand what's happening, and well, there are issues. Maybe the PvE thing is what could get people excited.
Ooh, I like where your head's at there, Patrick Pejon. Soon to be dad, father. All right. I'm so excited when my friends have kids. Have I mentioned that before? I'm so stoked.
A few times.
I love it. I love it. The only downside is because Kim loves babies and she just wants to hold everyone's baby all the time. She's not going to be able to do that very quickly unless we make a trip to Helsinki or whatever that hellscape is you live in right now. So
well, maybe you should.
Maybe we should. But all the people are see-through, like baby fish. You can see their heartbeat.
Yeah, but mine is going to be, you know, I was going to say a hybrid. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be basically half immigrant because I'm not originally from here. So there's a good chance he's not going to have those particular Finnish features.
Yeah, nobody wants those. Well, no, I take it back, Sonia. You'll punch me if she sees
some
me.
People.
Some people do. All right, let's move on to... Okay, so there's this thought game proposed by GamesRadar.com about what the next expansion's features will likely be in a very broad stroke sort of sense. And they struck me as sometimes obvious, but also an interesting talking point. I thought maybe we'd bounce these around a little bit. So these are six features they predict will be in the next World of Warcraft expansion, as explained by GamesRadar.
You won't believe the fourth one.
Oh, it's incredible. You will not believe what they said. Well, now you will, because I'm going to tell you. The first thing they say is a transition away from Legion, and by that, the Legion itself. There's a lot of talk about... I mean, I don't think this is too crazy. I've made it known in my own predictions that I'd like them to get away from demons for a while. Let's get some fell magic out of here, and let's get back to, you know, not necessarily a peaceful place like Pandaria, but the same kind of thing that Pandaria brought to the game, where it was like, oh, by the way, while you're all worrying about dragons and demons and all that, this place exists and you didn't know it. Oh, and now look what's going on. Like, that just really provided an interesting twist, and I want more of that.
I mean, I think the first part is going to happen, especially since, you know, it's not too much of a stretch of them predicting transition away from Legion, considering the beginning of the expansion is, we're going to get rid of the Legion once and for all. Mm-hmm. We're going to their home planet where you can actually kill them for good and they can never come back. So, yeah, basically, we're getting rid of the Legion. The super quiet place, though, I'm not quite sure it's going to happen. I'd like it, but
yeah, you're probably right.
I don't think it's going to happen.
So they don't think that. So their prediction is that whatever it is, it'll just be very non-Legion, Burning Legion, demon, space goat turned into a demon kind of world. We'll get away from that for a while, which I think is probably good. Their other prediction is the old gods will make a return and in a big way. Some of those old gods are dead, right? Like, I mean, not that anything can't be brought back to life.
But we fought them. Yeah, exactly. We fought a few of them, but I don't think we, like, killed them. We didn't, you know, Puff of Green Smoke, King Varian kill them.
I'm still not sure he's dead. I still think he's a yellow or a green ghost ready to come back and talk to me.
No.
I'm telling you, man. We're not done with Varian Wrynn. I'm telling you. It may not be the way we like. It may be totally dumb. I don't know. But he's going to come back as some kind of spirit essence and go, during my time, I gave Anduin all the tools, and now he's become an evil demon man, and I've got to put my ghost foot down and stop this madness or something.
I don't think that's going to happen, but maybe. But yeah, the old gods, I don't think we like actually killed them. So it's possible they're going to return, powered by the Void Lords somehow. That's very possible. I mean, they are that kind of thing anyway, and it seems like we're going towards Void Lordishness. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that seems likely.
Yeah, it does to me too. I mean, Yogg-Saron's dead, though. We chopped him up. He's like, he's goo, isn't he?
I don't know. I couldn't say definitively that we've, like, chopped them up and gotten them on a sushi plate and gone, like, all right, you're good, you're bad.
It's the other thing I'm worried about. The other worry I have for the old gods is they're all just a bunch of fish and, like, octopuses and stuff. But nobody's, like, normal. Anyway.
The Classius Nova in the chat room is saying Yashiraj is the only dead one.
Oh.
Yogg was only beaten back.
Oh, okay.
So I can't remember why Yashiraj would be the actual dead one. Oh, maybe right in Pandaria we had the heart and everything. So probably even for an old god, it's difficult to keep going without your heart.
Yeah, you got
to
have a heart. Sure. Yeah. Even Klingons.
Although we don't know the details of old god morphology and
The Klingons have two hearts. Did you know that they have redundant organs in Star Trek lore? Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Well, it's based on, I think it may be based on some other stuff, but there was an episode of TNG, The Next Generation, where Worf was killed, but then came back because his backup organs all kicked in.
Nice. Well, maybe the old gods also have backup organs of all of their organs.
They have a lot of heart is what you're saying. I get it. Do you think, Worf has two wieners? Anyway, moving on. Let's not talk about that. Here it says a new land. They believe it is either a new location or a rework of old zones. Every WoW expansion has given the player some fresh location to go to, so that seems obvious.
So I will call listicle BS on that one. Like, you needed an extra one. You weren't sure which one to do. And you're like, it's either going to be something old or something new. One of the two. I'm not sure which one, but it will be either. Like, yes. What else would it be? Like, you just hang out in Stormwind without anything new, and you have new quests to kill gnolls. No, obviously, that's not going to be what happens. There's going to be something new.
Yeah, they say there's some hints and some recent armor that show patterns that refer to Kul Terrasse, which is one of the realms of the game, so you can be on that server, but also it refers to a place, and these new robes have a map of that nation sewn into the fabric, and some think that maybe that's the new stomping ground for where we're going next. I have no connection to that place, so it means nothing to me. So to me, that doesn't do it. It's got to be more than that. But they say there's a connection to the old gods in terms of its origin. It says it's linked to some prominent figures, Jaina Proudmoore, for example. So even if you're casual, you kind of know what her role is, and apparently she's got a big part of that. Her father, Lord Admiral Daelin Proudmoore, once ruled that place and made war on the Horde with his warships there, so it's possible this is where she flees to become Queen of the Damned or whatever the hell she's going to do. So anyway, there's some thought about that. A new playable race seems likely. Probably not a class, but a race, because now we go back. That's the every other they tend to do, is go class 1 year or class one expansion, next expansion, new race, next expansion back to class. If it's a race here, who do you want? I mean, they're suggesting the mummy guys. What are their names?
the Ethereals?
The Ethereals, yeah. They're saying Ethereals, maybe. Some are saying Naga. That seems dumb.
Yeah. So the Naga have been floating around for a really long time. It doesn't seem impossible, but it would seem like they would need to have some, pretty different body types. And by which I don't mean, thinner or, fatter, but rather more legged or something, because it just looks weird. Like, they can't even equip epic pants you get from a dungeon. They're like, well, that's nice, but I can't really put them on because I have this weird serpent-like
maybe
shape.
It's just a big sock, like a big body sock.
Yeah, epic socks. I think that would work.
Yeah, they can't do boots, they can't do pants, and they're a bunch of fish. I don't know. I don't know how I think Naga are cool. But
lizard-like. But yeah, I think Naga are... It would be very weird. The Ethereals have gotten a lot of reworking in the past few... usually when they do... Well, not usually, but it's happened in the past that when they work on stuff for an expansion, obviously they're still in the middle of the previous expansion, so they sometimes include in the last patches of that previous expansion some of the assets or things they've been working on for the next one. And the fact that we have the Ethereals being reworked in certain models in this expansion, and the fact that the Ethereals are so close to the Void Lords and they're weaving in some of their story into the end of the expansion, it would make a lot of sense that they would be a if not a playable race, at least a really important race in the new expansion. But I think probably that would be my guess. They would be the new
You mean more than they are now, which is dude I go see to get my clothes changed, like more than that? Okay, great.
Well, they were really important. Well, not important, but they were a big part of the Burning Crusade a long time ago. So they had a big role in there.
Yeah, and they are the Void Lord connection to them is strong, and
exactly,
they come from all that business. That'd be great. The author of this article says perhaps Blizzard would opt for something not quite as deep as a totally new race, but will instead expand on current options by giving players the choice to choose a sub-race. If this ends up being the case, and then this is him again saying this, all I ask for is a female worgen that doesn't look like a chihuahua strung out on cocaine. Are people complaining about that female worgen still? I remember that was a thing a while ago. Yes, I guess it still is.
I don't think that would happen. What you have to think about in all those things is that if you make sub races, then they all have to be different, otherwise it doesn't really make sense. So if you do that, then you get, if the differences are big enough, then you it multiplies the amount of work you have to do for animations, for like customization, for everything. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would be cost effective.
One other thing they suggest is the player customization could be improved. Right now, their claim, and I agree with them, WoW is kind of always lagged behind in, when it comes to the customization. I remember even at launch, people complained. It's like, okay, a few hairstyles, everyone's the same height and build. If you're a dude, same height and build if you're a lady. It's just, you know, the class is the only distinction. And, you know, I don't know if they've really addressed that other than, you know, here's better models and now we have the haircut place or the barbershop and all that. I could see them maybe doing that, but I'm not sure players are demanding it. I don't know if we care that
much. No, I think it's the kind of thing that sounds good on paper. And then WoW is such an arcadey game. It's just your guy and you're attached to it because that's the character you've been playing for a long time. But, you know, all of his features are hidden immediately by the, you know, helm you're wearing. And yes, you could have different builds and different heights, but I don't think it's a priority for the dev team.
Yeah, there's no way that's on some whiteboard at the top spot. I just can't imagine it. The return of faction warfare, which I think is an interesting idea. The idea of getting Horde via Alliance in a much more meaningful way. I think Wintergrasp, you could probably argue, was the last time that was done well. And since then, what do we have? What was the one in Warlords?
Oh, there was Ashram. There was there were two extra attempts at making that work. Ashram and the other one. Sorry, I can't remember.
And neither of those held up to it, and I don't know why. Like, I don't know what it was about Wintergrasp that just nailed it. Maybe it was the connection to the PvE content you would get if you won. Maybe it was something else. I don't know, but I'd be all in for this. I like the idea of the two factions being a little less homogenous and a little more at each other's throats. The problem with, like, even when we were kind of at each other's throats again in Warlords, we kind of eventually had to all sort of unite and fight Garrosh together, you know, like it's always like this moment at the end of these expansions, like, all right, you guys, I know we hate each other's guts, but damn it, if we don't stand together, this foe will never be defeated. And this is like, you know, we're doing this again now, and maybe there's no other way to do it, but it would be nice to get back to me and facing off against you filthy, disgusting Alliance pigs.
Well, okay, there is something that they could do which would be really interesting.
Yeah.
They currently, I mean, in this expansion, they've put in an immense amount of work into making all of the classes different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have different quest lines, you have different class holes, you have, like, there is a lot of work on individual class stuff and even individual spec stuff.
Sure.
Maybe they could do something that is basically that was unimaginable before, which would be essentially making two endgames, one for the Horde and one for the Alliance. What I mean by that is having, like, entirely or significantly different raids, storylines, cinematics, and one per faction. That would be really interesting.
Oh, yeah, it would be. It'd also drive people to play their alts on other servers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or same server, I guess, doesn't matter, but yeah.
I could see that happening, and that would make, you know, that would break that problem that you mentioned that we always have, which is by the end of the expansion, you always have like one or two big figures for the Alliance and one or two big figures from the Horde who are like, hey, let's do this thing, and you have the same cinematics for everyone.
Yeah. I like the idea of that a lot. I don't know. I mean, but that's double the work, right? It means they'd have to double everything.
Exactly. And yeah. I would have said that will never happen before. But now that they've done the basically, what is it, like 12 different pieces of content for the different classes.
Yeah.
I think they could say, yeah, it would be a huge amount of work, but F it, we're going to do it.
Well, plus Legion felt like them saying, we have a lot of cool ideas. F it, we're going to do it. Like the Legion has the quality of that that overwork as well. The worry that you'd have is be if it's too much, then you have another Warlords problem where it's kind of holder content until they get to their big thing. So I don't know. I mean, who knows? But the concept of get some Horde v Alliance happening in a meaningful, big broad way would be a welcome thing, I think, for me. Anyway, it's an interesting article. You can find it over there at gamesradar.com. And if you'd like to submit your own thoughts to us about what you think the future expansion should be like, let us know, because BlizzCon's coming and there's no turning back. I mean, there's turning back. You can come home. Real quick here, a Blizzard roundup. Let's talk about just some of the stuff going on around Blizzard that isn't Warcraft related. Overwatch skins are out for the Halloween patch. Patrick, anything there jumping out at you or stoked about or want or have to have?
I mean, yeah, the patch itself is pretty standard. It's almost the same as it was last year. So there's the Halloween Junkenstein Revenge event, which is PvE. And there's a new mode for that, but it's essentially the same thing. The skins are awesome, though.
They are really good.
Some of them are incredible. The Symmetra one, which is essentially a Deathwing skin, you know, just like the D.Va one in Heroes, the Destroyer skin for D.Va.
Yeah.
This one is, it's not called Deathwing, but it's essentially what it is. And the Zarya one, totally 80s, is amazing as well. Have you seen that
one? Yeah, the Zarya one is really, really hot. Everything looks... Every single new skin is awesome, and the old ones are returning, so if you didn't get those the first time around, you get a chance to grab those again. Speaking of Heroes of the Storm, oh yeah, cheaper, that's good too. Heroes of the Storm PTR this week got Junkrat. Speaking of Overwatch and Halloween, they're getting a bunch of Halloween stuff as well. He'll be on public realms or public servers come Tuesday the 17th. I've spent some quality time with everyone's favorite little bomb-chucking weirdo, and he is great in Heroes of the Storm. So if you're a Junkrat fan and you're coming from Overwatch, maybe time to dip your foot in over there, because he's great. Great transition for that character. Diablo 3 Season 11 is ending soon, so if you're into Season 12, you may want to get ready. If you think that they're recycling the same content every month like I do, you're going to probably hold off until we have something more significant to play.
Which is going to be never until a new Diablo game comes up.
It's definitely not going to be...
I like Seasons.
But it definitely won't be BlizzCon. We know that.
Oh, no.
I like Seasons, too. I just feel like I've done a lot of them, and it's time for me to do something new. So, BlizzCon early merch buying is now live at the merch store, so if you want to not wait in line and have a terrible time at BlizzCon trying to get the stuff you want, be a good time for people to belly up to the bar and get your stuff early. Speaking of BlizzCon, the band is Muse. That's the official band announcement. Muse. I'm not even that big of a Muse fan, so I'll probably not be going, but I'm sure some people are stoked.
Yeah, there. Muse. I saw a lot of tweets going like, oh my god, it's Muse, that's so awesome. But maybe not with that voice. That's how they sounded in my head. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, so I'm not a Muse huge Muse fan.
I'm not a Muse a huge, huge Muse fan. They're fine.
But I mean, I'll probably be spending that time hanging out with people and you know, having fun at the with the people that I don't get to meet for the entire year. As I'm saying this, I understand some people are going to say, "Well, you know how I get to listen to Muse live? Never. That's when I get to do that." Yeah. So they're going to go do it.
Yeah, and that's fine. Great. I'm glad they got a band they want to see. I think that's great. Battle.net got some social features and more to come. This is only part of the desktop beta launcher, so you need to opt into the beta. It's not hard. Everybody could do it. It's free, and it's like two clicks and you're in. But it's important to know that. None of this stuff is on the phone yet. So the phone apps for Android and iOS, that stuff's coming, but you can set up groups. It's basically kind of like a community clan system. I mean, really what they're doing is they're building out features that you'd see in Discord or something. It's similar to that.
Yeah, it's like a mini Discord.
But I like it. I like it.
Only in the US, by the way. To get to the beta, there's a menu in the options. You can just get to that. I don't think you need to be invited anymore.
Yeah.
And it's only active in the US. So if you're logged in, you can log into the US from the EU or Asia, but you won't get the social tab unless you're logged into the US.
Okay.
And it seems, you know, it's pretty simple Discord type things, which I'm guessing they're going to improve over time, but it's the kind of thing like people get, you know, people get clans and groups and guilds in WoW and in the different games, and maybe they want to play with those people across multiple Blizzard games. So, of course, you need that kind of feature. And Blizzard has always been very forward-looking in the online gaming arena. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that they would include those features in their launcher app.
I agree. Finally, in Hearthstone, there's a new Warlock hero coming. It's basically just a skin. You'll pay $10 for it. Nemzy Necrofizzle.
Correction, sir.
Oh.
I don't know why I made that accent. You get it by participating in, what's the name?
Uh-oh.
The not Oops. Hangouts, like the brain fart.
The I know what you're saying. The thing, yes. The deal where you are part of the thing.
Fireside gathering.
That's
there,
it.
I got it.
That's it. They're so like yeah, hangouts. The hangouts around a fire, we call them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what you do. And
I didn't know that. I thought she was notable. I thought she was a buyable one. I had no idea. She
nope. could be free. And it's also not notable because from what I understand, she's the first hero in Hearthstone that is not originally from WoW. She's an original Hearthstone character.
I believe that is correct. Yep, that is correct. And also, if you go look at her on Wowpedia, it says Nemzy Necrofizzle is a gnome warlock who is the second warlock hero in Hearthstone, and that's it. They have no other background on her. So she's yeah. this obnoxious little gnome piece of crap. Good luck, everyone.
Well, and she's also called Nemzy Necrofizzle, which I think Necrofizzle is a really good name.
It's not bad. It also sounds a little dirty, but whatever.
If my baby is a girl, maybe I'll ask the project director on the Beja expansion whether or not we can call her Necrofizzle.
Does that mean you we'll don't see. Know the sex or you do know? Do you know the gender?
I actually know.
Oh, I can't wait to find out. Oh, they're the best. Kids are the best. I freaking love them.
You so know what would be funny? If I didn't tell anyone for like a really long time
yeah.
until like I give it a neutral name. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, here's Necrofizzle.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, is it a boy or girl? Who knows?
It's a gnome. That's all I'll know for sure is it's a gnome.
Yeah.
Finnish gnome. All right. There's your roundup, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. All right. What do we got now? Oh, I know. We got to do this because there's an email to read. Check this out.
Oh, crap.
What did I miss? Did I miss something? What did I miss?
I misspoke. Sidian in the chat room is saying that Morgul the Oracle is actually an original Hearthstone character that wasn't in WoW before it appeared in Hearthstone. So
I didn't know that.
That's true. Too many characters in...
But wait, isn't that character in WoW now, though? Like I
he is now.
Okay, that's why I was confused, because it came the other direction is all. It just didn't come from... it came from Overwatch, not from WoW. That makes sense.
Not from Overwatch. We don't have...
I mean, not Overwatch.
We don't have Murlocs in Overwatch yet. Although there are sprays, and you know, there's like this thing in the Japanese, in Hanamura, the Murloc eating ramen type of thing,
right.
kind of. But
right,
yeah.
right. Okay, well, there you go. We've all learned a little lesson. This email came to us at theinstance@gmail.com from Justin, or Quajin is his name. He says this: hey, guys, so I've been playing WoW since release, and one of the most fun and challenging things in the game used to be crafting. These days, it feels empty. At every point of the game, it just feels empty to me. I love leveling characters different ways, such as with crafted gear only, but that can't really be done now. Some of my some of the coolest recipes are now gone as well. I was wondering if this is just me and I'm not understanding how crafting has evolved or if Blizzard has let the ball drop. I think you're supposed to say has dropped the ball, because if you let the ball drop, that's a testicle thing. Anyway, I would love a revamp. I would love a revamp of old crafting. Make it much better to compete with heirlooms, perhaps. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Justin. I mean, I've never enjoyed crafting. It's just not my thing in games generally speaking, and kind of across the board. I don't like it. So I'm a terrible person to ask this of, but what's your take? Do you feel like crafting is just sort of become a click a button, make a thing and walk away, and it used to be more than that? Or does he have nostalgia disease here?
Not quite, click a button and make a thing, but yeah, it's definitely a lot simpler than it used to be. It's usually like you get progression, gear that you probably out-level mostly by the time you can make them. So they're not very useful. They're useful for your alts sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then you get like one or two items that is essentially a best in slot for a good part of that level of the expansion, that patch. So it's a little bit simpler. I think they did try to make it more interesting in this expansion by adding specific quests that are not bad. I think there are some interesting things you can do. Like, for example, there's a, I don't know if you know this, but in for the leather working, you have a specific mount that you can get only by doing a bunch of stuff, one of which includes, it's kind of hard to describe, you have to leash a moose, and as you leash him, he's running away like through half the zone, and you have to follow him and not lose him. There are checkpoints, but not lose him for, like, it lasts for 20 minutes. It's really hard.
It is hard.
And it's, you know, there are these kinds of things for each profession. I agree. It's not as involved as it was before. I think most people found it more tedious than interesting. It's not to say, you know, Justin, obviously you liked it. And I've had some good times leveling some of my professions for with my olds back in the day. I think today I would find it more tedious than not as well. I don't really see it coming back in any significant way. I really like your idea of heirlooms. Maybe that could be something they explore as an alternative for, you know, the other ways you can get heirlooms, but they would need to leave these other ways in place. And also, I suspect that these heirloom crafting recipes wouldn't be that different from the ones we have now. So I don't know if there's really a way to satisfy you with the way the game is currently. But I understand where you're coming from. It's just the game has changed. I don't think it's going back.
Some of the professions continue to be important from a day-to-day point of view, making food for your raid team, making elixirs and
right. And the pots. Consumables you're going to use.
Yeah, you're going
to use gems. Gems, you don't have a lot of gems to, a lot of slots to.
No, but gem slots have really gone down. But the rune thing is cool, and you know, like there's other things to do now that are helpful on a kind of constant basis. I think building gear and weapons and stuff has its place for the leveling process. But beyond that, I mean, it's either they make that more robust and part of the main game, or they don't. And I think players would rather kill things, loot things, get things than they would kill things, skin things, go back to town, build the thing, hopefully it's okay, wear it, get rid of it.
I mean, like, you can sort of work it into the kill things rather than, you know, gather things by having that one special ingredient like the, you know, Sargerite or Primal Sargerite, whatever, which is essentially a loot, something you need to loot on a boss so that you actually need to go and fight the boss to get the crafting material to make your thing. But then, you know, that only means you have to get that one drop to make your item, which is basically equivalent to making to dropping an item, right, more or less,
right,
except you have the tedium of having had to level your profession,
right?
So I don't know if there's a solution to this problem given the way the game is. It's not even the way the game works, but the way the player base approaches those parts of the games now.
Yeah. Do you know the Sargonite stuff you're talking about? The shards or whatever?
Sargerite, yeah.
Where are those coming from? Are those drippings? Like, are those Sargeras drippings? Like, what are those?
Drippings or droppings?
Maybe droppings. I don't know how we're getting
those. I'm sure it's some kind of Sargeras blood or sweat or other bodily fluid of some sort.
Jeez. All right. I've asked too much. I've gone too far.
That's crystallized through the eons.
Yeah.
Listen, it's some heavy stuff. Like, the Titans have bodily functions as well.
Of course.
And apparently they make uber powerful stuff for our crafting gear. We should be thankful.
We really should be. Get your reagents wherever you can get them. That's going to do it for emails. Thank you for that email there, Justin. The email address is theinstance@gmail.com. Please keep sending them in. You guys always have great stuff to say, and we'll share them right here on the show. That is going to do it for me and Patrick today. A reminder about that 500-plus episode mug, if you are interested in that. It's available for a very short time at frogpants.com/store. And don't forget to attend our live instance thing, panel, interview, deal at BlizzCon Saturday. It's on the schedule. I forget the time. I think it's 11 that morning or something. It was originally like at 3, so it's changed a little bit, but it's happening. As I often like to say, help, help, it's happening. Patrick, tell people where to find you outside of this, because that's a good thing to do with their lives. Where can they go?
Oh, they could go to Twitter or Facebook and find Not Patrick. That's my name on both of those platforms. You can also find a new Blizzard games-related podcast, because I didn't have enough with all of the ones I do and with the time I spend here with this here lovely gentleman. Scott Johnson, that was you I was talking
right.
about. I now do the Icy Veins podcast with the folks from Icy Veins. You know that site you go to get your build for your Diablos and your Heroes and all of those games. Mm-hmm. And WoW also.
Yeah, WoW is still one of the best resources in the world for WoW. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Love it.
They also have like a big news site, and they contacted me to do a podcast, and I was like, yes, let's do it. So we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And you can find it at icyveins.com, or just go check it out on your podcast reading app. Just search for Icy Veins. You'll find it. It's a shorter show, very news focused every couple of weeks, and it covers most of Blizzard games.
Nice.
Last thing, you and I are going to be recording an episode of Pixels in hopefully just a little bit.
Yep.
And in that show, we're going to be talking about, have you been playing Shadow of War?
I have not yet. My goal is to get the damn thing and get going with it, but I have not yet. I know you've been playing it, and it seems like you're enjoying it. So
oh, very much so. Yeah. And we're going to be talking about all those things with loot boxes and like a bunch of stuff. So go check out Pixels as well if you like games that aren't necessarily made by Blizzard. It's called Pixels.
Yeah, there you go. Not the movie that was terrible with Adam Sandler in it. Don't think of that one. Think of the games. Here's a hint of something else I launched and you'll be getting more of today.
Fire in the hole!
That right there is the intro to the brand new podcast on the Frog Pants Network called The Exploding Tire. It is a Overwatch-focused news wrap-up show that I do every Thursday, every week. There's only one episode out. Today's will be episode 2. If you are into a strong focus on what's happening this week in Overwatch, that's a great place to check it out. So do check it out. Let me know what you think. Again, you can find it via all the places you get your podcasts, Apple's iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get them. They're listed. And you can find the website with all those links over at frogpants.com/explodingtire.
You just couldn't stay away from Overwatch. I know you've been talking about doing it something Overwatchy for a long time, and I'm really glad you finally took the jump.
Yeah, me too. At some point, you'll end up on there, and we'll talk about some stuff. I'm
going
to try to do some interviews. I want to get some Overwatch artists and music guys on there, because those guys never get enough attention. So a lot of opportunity there. I'm very excited about it, and I have been putting it off for a very long time. But I don't know. The timing felt right, and so there it is. So go check that out. In the meantime, theinstance.net is the website for this show. If you like it, go check it out. You can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. You can find me on Twitter at Scott Johnson, and as Patrick mentioned, Not Patrick for him. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, and for all of you. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.